And spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin soul.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the...
Hey yo! What is up, everybody? Welcome to the TJTV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How's everyone doing on this beautiful day? We have an interview today with Bob Kaplan, and it, you know what? I haven't talked to Bob in a while, but, you know, I love talking to Bob. Me and him hung out for a long time, and I haven't heard from him in a while, so he's coming on the show. I can't wait to talk to him. Anyways, welcome to the show, guys. If you guys are new, make sure you smash the like and subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and much more. Also, we have an interview with Ray Gonzalez coming this week, and did you guys like that intro? Did you? I mean, it was a really interesting intro. I'm just trying to mash together some music for the Halloween season, you know what I mean? Because Halloween is officially, let's see, a week away from today. Yeah, it is. It's actually a week away, my anniversary. Also, I want to make an announcement. Next week, we are doing the Tuesday Soundtrack Halloween Music Edition, where we're just going to be playing Halloween music, which should be fun. So stay tuned for that and much more. I didn't get to meet my goals. Well, talking to, you know, one of the owners of Bates Motel or Jason's Woods or anything like it. It came up too quickly. So, you know, we got next year to worry about. So hopefully that happens. Also, I do want to say this. I'm tired. I'm really freaking tired. I went running for the first time in 10 years. So my legs are really killing me right now. And Tori's like, you know, we should go running. So I decided to go running. I'm just like, fuck, my legs are hurting so bad. Like, I just want to go and, like, take a nap. Even getting up today was, like, really hard for me. It usually isn't hard for me to get up, but since I went running for the first time, I'm just like, wow, this sucks. Like, it really does. Like, I'm just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, it was just one of those things. In any event, what do we got coming up? So the Phillies, I can't believe the Phillies lost 5-1 last night. They should have won it yesterday. It would have been really, they could have finished it. But I talked to my dad yesterday, and my dad pretty much told me, like, hey, this is what's going on. They're probably going to lose today, which was yesterday. They're probably going to lose on Monday, and they're going to dominate them on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And you know what? The Astros aren't in the World Series, so... Let's hope that the Texans, let's hope that the Phillies, you know, let's hope they win. That would be great. Really would be. They really need to win. I just hope they get into the World Series. We need this. Philadelphia needs this. They do. You know what I mean? But anyways, yeah. This is going to be a big game tonight, and today is a big game, and I'm hoping that they win. So let's pray that the Phillies win. I really hope that they win. And I do have some other good news to spread, too. This week, on one of the fantasy teams, I officially won. I am now 1-6 in one of the fantasy teams that I played. I finally won. one game out of the 7 weeks of this whole fucking thing, I've won one game. And I'm happy. I really am. I'm 1-6. Thank you, Lord. And I won the other league I'm in, too. But I lost the last league. So I'm officially 4-3. Oh, well. Anyways, yeah. I didn't win by much in the other league, but hey, it is what it is. Who am I facing this week? I don't even know. Oh, well. We'll figure it out. I got a couple minutes. I got a couple days until this whole thing happens. Oh, well. Ooh. There's a Halloween Railroad on the 28th. You know, here's something else I have to talk about, too. It really just pissed me off. And then we'll get on with the interview. I literally... I went to go get my car, like, checked. I had to get an oil change yesterday. And they told me, you got bubbles in your tires, in two tires. And I'm thinking, motherfucker, my car is possessed. I really feel like with the tire situation. My car has been so obsessed with tires, it's just been unbelievable. Every time I have something going on with my car, it's the tires. It sucks. It really fucking sucks. Like, now I'm driving around with bubbles on my tire. I got till tomorrow, maybe Thursday at the earliest or latest to get it done because I'm afraid that the car's going to explode on me on like going home. And I know the bubbles are small, but it's a hit or miss. When you're driving with bubbles in the car, it could be bad. And I'm hoping it doesn't. I'm going to pray to God that it doesn't blow up. I really am. I'm praying to God that it doesn't blow up. Please, please, Lord, I'm begging you. Please don't let the car blow up. I don't even know if I could even be driving on my donut because I drove my donut so many times in the last like 4 years of having a car. I mean, I had the car since 2020. It'll be 2024. It'll be officially 4 years since I had the car. And I've had so many repairs done on my tires. And they're recommending four tires. Well, I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to get four tires. I'm only going to get two. So I'm going to get two tomorrow and then get another one in November and then probably have to get one more before it starts snowing. Which I have to say, for October, it was cold this morning. It was 34 degrees. It's 6 in the morning. Like, I'm just like, this is snow weather. Like, where is this coming from? Oh, well, it is what it is. Hey, what can we do? All right, so here's the deal. Bob's coming on. We're going to play music. And, yeah, this is going to be Halloween-themed music for the next 2 days. Only on the TJTV podcast. Only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Bob Kaplan's coming up in just a few seconds. TJTV. Love this song. Really love this song. You know, Stranger Things is one of those shows that you just love. It really is. Like, just listen to the beginning of this real quick. We're going to listen to the beginning. I want to show you guys why I love the song. Just that whole, like, beginning right there. It's just so great. Like, it really is a great intro of any show I've ever seen. And you know what? I've seen that show so many times in my entire life growing up that, like, it's just one of those things you have to listen to. It really is. You know what I mean? So, oh, Bob is on Zoom. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Take a break. We'll be back. Bob Kaplan's coming up, and yeah, we'll be back in a couple of seconds.
It's been a while since I've had Bob Kaplan on, and I did mention this in the show last week that Bob's coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm very connected. All right, so yeah, yeah, I feel like every time I come on here, it's like a fever dream, though.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like I barely remember anything I've ever said in your podcast. I've enjoyed every time. I feel it's like the time flies when you're having fun. I think it's kind of like that.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think we also do it early in the morning, so I'm usually groggy.
Yeah, no, there's so many things I say on here, and like I always have to think, did I say that already? I can't remember half the time.
But yeah, the reason I reached out to you to come on this time is because I have a business I'm working on. And I thought this was fitting too, since you and I did like the ghost hunting together.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the business that you're working on?
It's called Heavy Metal Healer.
Okay. And you have an Instagram.
What do you say?
You have an Instagram page too. I remember.
I got an Instagram. I just started a TikTok. I have a Twitter, but I think I'm kind of done with Twitter because I don't think it's sticking around anyway. And then I have a Facebook page, which I don't update as much as I should on there. And then a website, heavymetalhealer.com. But so I guess the best way is to kind of just tell you my story, which I don't even know if you know my whole story, even though we've been friends for a few years now.
All right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know some of your story, but not all of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm bipolar.
Yeah.
You know that much. So my whole life, you know, I peaked when I was about 13, which is really hard to be a kid dealing with mental illness and not knowing what the hell's going on, especially, you know, I'm 37. I just turned 37. So this was, you know, literally around like late 90s, early 2000s, which they didn't really know as much about mental illness in children back then. So right. It took me years to even get a diagnosis. And then I literally spent my entire life just doing everything I was supposed to do. I went to therapy. I took the pills. I went to psychiatry. I went to support groups. You know, I had substance abuse issues. I went to meetings. And none of it worked for me. It's because I would just keep ending up back where I was. So one day, I just kind of had what I call a spiritual awakening. And I discovered something called shadow work.
Okay.
And it saved my life. I was about to check myself into a psychiatric unit. And I told my best friend, she said, well, let's meet up for lunch and talk about it before you do it. So one of the strangest things happened. I was listening to a Gabby Bernstein book. You know who she is?
I've heard the name before.
Yeah, she's this big, like Oprah loves her. She's on Oprah. She's this big, like guru, but she's all bullshit. It's all like pop marketing and stuff like that. You know, it's like every 5 seconds, she's like, I was addicted to drugs. But, you know, I'm not going to trash anybody's work. She's still, you know, she's very successful and, you know, she's good at what she does. But, you know, it's just kind of like that, you know, it's like saying, I listen to metal and I like Tool. It's kind of like that. So, I somehow from that book discovered my shadow, and I sat down with my friend and I said, I'm good. I figured it out. And the shadow goes back, you know, it was discovered by Carl Jung. So it has psychology roots, and it's basically our dark side. And it's not dark because it's bad. It's dark because it's repressed, because all the shame and all the trauma that happens to us, we aren't able to deal with it. So we push it deep down. And that's the shadow. But even though we can't see it, it still affects us.
Yeah.
So shadow work is integrating your shadow. And it's dealing with, it's acknowledging what you don't want to acknowledge. You know, acknowledging your trauma and freeing yourself of it. So I started doing this for years. And it started to really work for me. And I'm a facilitator for men's group. You know that it's a online men's support community, and working with a lot of the men there really inspired me to become a coach. So I got certified as a spiritual life coach. I'm working on several other certifications right now. I'm almost done my shamanic life coach certification. Then I'm going to be doing breath work, meditation, and also Viking shaman, which I'm really excited about. But it's become you know, my new, see, purpose is bullshit. The concept of purpose is bullshit because we don't have one singular purpose in our life. You know, I'm not giving up on being a filmmaker and a comedian, but it's just, to me, this, my current purpose, because our purpose is always changing. I've always wanted to help people, and that's what I'm doing now. So I, and you know me, and you know I'm the last person who would become a spiritual coach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's, I'm not like, I'm different than pretty much almost every coach there is. And for one, 95% of them are women, at least, I mean, maybe 90%, but most of them are women. And then most of them are just unrelatable. They talk to the stars, and they wear robes, and they smell like incense, and they love colors, and they got tapestries behind them, and they talk in their meditation voice all the time. And I thought that the average person who can benefit from this work is being pushed away because they can't relate to their coach. And I'm just a regular guy who found benefits through this work. So that's where I came up with the heavy metal healer, because to me, music is a big part of it. And, you know, heavy metal has gotten me through so much in my life. So that's what I wanted to focus on for me. But mainly my whole thing is that I'm the everyman of the spiritual community.
And that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah. And it's funny, because when you and I do the ghost hunting, I'm the skeptic, right?
Yeah.
I will always be the skeptic. And that is healthy. It's important to constantly question everything. And I think somebody who truly is spiritual is going to question everything. And to me, I always say, I don't care how it works. I just care that it works.
And have you, how many people have you helped so far? Because you started this about a few months ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, not to mention I have like my clients, but I also work with a lot of men and men's group too. So if men's group, I do a spiritual growth group, which I'm doing today. I do a self-worth and confidence group, and I do an emotional fitness group. And I've learned a lot working on men's group that I've incorporated into my coaching. Like, for one, I've learned a lot about emotional intelligence. And I constantly use the feelings wheel with my clients, because so many of us do not practice emotional intelligence and emotional fitness. Because the big thing is, emotions are just data. They can't be good or bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, pinpointing our emotions, you know, it's, everything's about how we react. Everything in life is about how is our reactions. So we can't control our thoughts. We can't control our emotions, but we can control our reactions to them. Like, I have really bad OCD.
Right.
And people don't realize the true struggle with OCD. Do you think it's just neat and clean and washing their hands and organizing? And you know I'm messy. But, I mean, for me, I have somatic OCD. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't heard of that.
But... No, nobody has. I didn't even know what it was. And I had most of my life, I didn't know what it was. And it's where you get a hyper aware of bodily functions of your body, hyper awareness of your body. So I get stuck in like my breathing trap or my blinking trap. And then there's harm OCD. I mean, there's so many different types of OCD, and I spent my whole life thinking there's something wrong with me. And then joining, you know, OCD support group. So I'm doing right now, I'm working on acceptance and commitment therapy. And that's something I'm doing myself, because like I always say that this is the best version of me, but this version needs work, because we never want to be at a point where we're like, I'm good. You know, I did the work, I'm done. Now, this is like, and I tell my clients all the time, like, meeting with me once a week is not putting the work in. You know, I tell it to my guys in the groups, going to the meetings is not putting the work in. Putting the work in is doing this on your everyday life. When I guide people through breath work and meditation, I want them to incorporate that into their everyday life. I teach them the tools that they need, and it's up to them to incorporate it. And they can decide, because the whole thing for me, and the point of me telling my story, is that there is no one-size-fits-all journey. Everybody needs to find their own path. And that's my issue with 12-step. Because I did what I had to do. I went to the meetings. I stopped doing drugs, but it wasn't working because I wasn't an addict. I had underlying issues that needed to be focused on. So the people that are addicts and have the addiction, you know, those people were so strong and I learned so much from them, but I couldn't relate. And that's why it didn't work for me. Because 12-step tries to put everybody in the same box and we're all individuals. We're all different.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Like, so, and that's, and they, and the people can give me shit for trashing 12-step, but their slogan is keep coming back. It works. They have a 5% recovery rate, 5% success rate. Get a new slogan. Keep coming back if it works. That should be their slogan.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it doesn't work, try some. I mean, this is such, it's such an archaic system, a 12-step. There's other recovery groups out there. I mean, I got a, right here, look. Refuge Recovery. This is a Buddhist recovery program. It got blurry because of my background. But like there's other options out there. It doesn't have to be a monopoly with recovery. But it's also Christian-based. And I'm very anti-theistic. You know, that's why the difference between religion and spirituality, because religion is something you're told and spirituality is something you experience.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. What have you experienced spiritually?
Through meditation, through shamanic journeying, through shadow work. It's like when you meditate, you can feel the universe. You can feel your vibration, your connection. You know, what I mainly try to help people is with raising their vibrational frequency. And if you look at the vibrational frequency scale and you look at the feelings wheel, they look very similar. Because to me, spirituality is just another word for psychology. You're looking at psychology through a different lens.
Wow.
Because it's not about religion. It's not about the higher power per se. It's about, you know, connecting with the universe. It's about, you know, internal and external. External meaning, you know, because what spiritual coaches do compared to other coaches, we work on the mind, body, soul connection. Because the mind and the body are both just a vessel for the soul. And the soul is to let, you know, you let your clients know that they are more than just this. There's more to all of us. We're to the universe. So I hate toxic positivity. That's one of the worst problems we have today with gurus and coaches. I got so many issues, so many coaches out there. One, any coach that calls themselves an entrepreneur, I have a problem with. Like, I'm a healer first and foremost, and my rates are good because I want to help people. But I hate coaches that brag about how much they charge. I hate coaches that call themselves entrepreneurs. I hate coaches that spread toxic positivity. I hate coaches that solicit. I just think there's so many problems right now with the self-help community, and that's why I'm trying to help.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
It's crazy. Just a money-making institution right now. It's just for cash grabs, the self-help community. I mean, coaches are charging hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars a session. And I always said I'm never going to overcharge. And it's like, you know, I want to give people an option. I want to give people an option to be able to afford it. I'll do a sliding scale if they need it. I want people to be able to relate to their coach. I want people to get out of. I give my clients homework every week. Because it's more than just meeting with me for an hour. I mean, you know, you should be reading. You should be watching videos, practicing meditation and breath work, yoga. I mean, yoga is amazing.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So when you give these guys homework, like, do you know, like, have you ever had people, like, not do the homework? And, like, have you had to, like, cut people from the group? Or how does that work?
They might. Who knows? I said it to them. They don't have to do it. It's up to them. You know, they could lie to me and say they did it. But I mean, I'm sending them the tools and stuff that we go over to help them. It's, you know, because you only get what you put out. You only get out of it what you put into it.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I mean, you pay for the session. It's up to you to do it. You know, I always say I don't do shit. I don't do anything because they're the ones doing all the work. That's how it was for me because, look, I mean, I was a member of a bipolar support group for a while, and I love them. I still go to their Christmas parties every year and play Santa, and they're kind of pissed at me for leaving them for men's group. But it just wasn't for me anymore. You know, I feel like I almost like transcended my diagnosis because I realized I'm more than just bipolar, generalized anxiety, insomnia, and OCD, that I'm a person. And that's, you know, it's the same thing like with 12-step. It's like, you know, you're more than just an addict. And also, like I have clients that deal with substance abuse issues, and I say, first of all, I want to find out why you're doing the substances. And if we work on that issue and it doesn't work, then yes, you probably need some type of recovery treatment. But I'd like to find out why first. If we find out why you're doing it and we can fix it that way, then that's better than you trying something that doesn't work. Because you can't treat everybody the same. We're none of us are the same.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. Like,
I mean, that's why you and I did the ghost hunting, because we're like polar opposites.
Yeah, I know. No, it's, yeah, it's a weird thing, like substance abuse. Like, I've had a couple people on my show in the last couple weeks who've dealt with abuse, substance abuse issues, and they've done different things. Like, the one guy, Tripp, who I had on, he went to rehab. He said that didn't work because he went to several. And now he lives with at a men's group, which is what you're, you know, doing right now in Westchester. And he said, I've been 5 months sober. I'm with 6 months. I don't have a drink.
Because you need to find out what works for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such an archaic system what they're doing. And it's like, I'm glad there's other options now. There's like, you know, Refuge Recovery, I think, split into two different groups because of the Me Too movement. I think somebody told me that. So I don't think they're Refuge anymore. They're like two different ones. But and then there's Smart Recovery. Like, there's options. But like, I found men's group. Like, I literally found them in a motel room in Ohio, and I was Googling on my phone because I went to I traveled 500 miles for a retreat, and I went to a retreat in Ohio, and I had the biggest revelation. So we get there and we do the fire ceremony. You write your intention for the retreat on a piece of paper, and then you throw it in the fire. So you're really still again. All right, so we get our intention and we throw it in the fire. My intention was find Bob. And I made a joke. I'm like, I traveled 500 miles to find myself, and I've been there all along. So the next morning, at 7 a.m., I kind of figured everything out when I realized that I traveled 500 miles for a woman, which was par for the course for me. Because I'm there, it was my coach at the time, and I was just like, why is she not paying attention to me? Why is she, you know, ignoring me? And I'm like, these thoughts that have always been in my head. And then I realized the next day that I've just always been fighting for women's attention, starting with my mother. And that was my whole life. Just constantly trying to get women's attention. And whether it's as a boyfriend, as a friend, whatever. But I just always wanted their approval. And what I found at this retreat was something I never thought I'd find, was a brotherhood. I found a group of guys that I really just connected with. And that was when I realized that I needed to work on my relationships with men, because I think I couldn't connect with men, and most of my friends were women, because I saw other men as rivals. And I think, like, everybody wants to give Freud shit. Freud was on to something. Like, yes, he was on coke, but he also, I mean, he wasn't wrong with the Oedipus complex. I thought he was when I first learned, when, you know, I was younger. But, I mean, you know, that's the whole point of what I do with shadow work, is because our child, like our being a child, we're in our beta stage. We're so developmental. And that's how, no matter what we do, we're going to have childhood trauma. And it's like, as a parent, no matter what you do, you're going to fuck your kids up. So don't feel bad about it. You can't help it.
I mean, I kind of felt the same way, though. I've always wanted approval from both of my parents, though. Yeah. Like growing up, my dad always clinged to my sister more. And I felt like, you know, when am I going to get the clinginess from my dad? Because, like, I never knew anything about football or anything until I, like, got much older and looked all of that into my, like, so I looked it up myself. And, you know, even today, like, talking to my parents, I still want their approval, but I know it's like they don't want to give me it. It's weird. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know, and you know my brother. My brother is very masculine.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great athlete. He plays sports. He's a mechanic. You know, and then I'm more of the creative.
Yeah.
So even my dad said, I you know, I bond with your brother more with guns and with sports and stuff like that, but I bond with you over literature and music and movies. So it's like balance. See, that's my whole thing. And it's the most important thing is always balance. Because black and white thinking is the worst thing you could possibly do. And one of my favorite things to say is only a Sith deals in absolutes. From Star Wars. Because everything's gray. There is no black and white. It's like I'm Jewish and I'm Italian. I'm not one thing. But it's like, you know, and that's one of the worst things you could do is think in black and white. And back with like the self-help industry, the biggest thing is that, you know, we've been lied to our whole lives because self-improvement is a lie. You cannot improve. You can only destroy.
Yeah, no, I guess
improving implies A, there's something wrong with you and there's not. And B, you need to add something to you to be better. You don't. Everything you need is inside. So the true journey for improvement, this is audio, I just did air quotes. The true key to improvement is going inside and getting rid of all the bullshit you don't need. Because what they always say to you in yoga is release what's no longer serving you. And that's what it's all about. Release what's no longer serving you, because what you need to do is not become a better you, but a truer you. You need to find the true self that's underneath. So self-improvement is bullshit, and I hate that term. And that's why I think the self-help industry is such a scam, because they just keep lying to us. They say, you're all right with cursing and stuff on here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say, you know, when they say you can have anything you want, I'm like, well, I want to be an astronaut with a big black cock, but it ain't going to happen. So it's like, you can't be everything you want. You just need to, it's more about accepting how your life is. Like I always say, because I love Fight Club. I think Fight Club has got some of the best philosophies in it. And one of the best advice you can ever give to someone is, this is your life and it's ending 1 minute at a time. And it's that it doesn't get much better than this. Now you can either accept that and live a happy life. But if you can't accept it, then do something about it. But for the most part, our lives don't change that much. I'm going to say improve when it comes to your life, because you can improve your situation. You just can't improve who you are because you don't need to.
Right. Now, do you believe like people?
Our lives don't.
I was saying, like, do you believe that, like...
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say, like, do you believe that, like, when people say that you can't change your life, do you think that's bullshit, too? They just don't want to?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, like, I think one of the one phrases that people hate that I kind of agree with is that you're living the situation you want to live. And I'm not living the situation I want to live, but it's like, if you're not making the steps, because it's more so you don't want to do what needs to be done in order to improve because you're scared. And there's so many reasons why it could be, you know, it could be anxiety. I mean, procrastination is a motherfucker.
Yeah, no, it is. I agree with that.
And it's like, that's a serious issue that I fucking deal with. And I'm, you know, there's tons of books, and I even got a workbook for procrastination. Guess what? I never used it because I procrastinated using the procrastination.
Yeah.
I was watching, so I love this one channel called Goal Guys. Have you ever seen that channel? You would really like it. Goal Guys.
No. What's it on?
These guys, it's on YouTube. Okay. But they do challenges, but they don't do like eating the most boiled eggs. They do the like, you know, read 100 books in 30 days or, you know, completely detox from technology for a week. They do stuff like that. So they do goals, they do challenges, but to improve life, you know, the quality of life. And I remember he did this one video on I will not procrastinate for 1 week. And he goes, I have this book on procrastination. I'm going to read it tomorrow. Which I thought is like the funniest statement.
Wow.
Oops.
You've been up to that for the last few months, pretty much.
I mean, I've secretly been up for it for the past, you know, for years, but it's not something, it was always something I did for myself. And now I realize that if I could heal myself, I can, because I've always just had this healer instinct. I couldn't help but always trying to help people. And in turn, that's a sickness in itself. But I've always just tried to help people no matter what situation I was in. So now I got the training to do it, and I'm still learning because that's all life is. Like I said, we're never done. So it's like when it comes to working on yourself, you're never finished. But it comes to helping other people, you're never finished. So it's not like, you know, like, for instance, you and I went to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we learned what we did, and that was that.
Yeah.
And I think that's stupid. I think once you graduate any program you're in, it's your responsibility to constantly be learning after that. Because for one, in college, not only did they teach you the information you needed, but they also taught you how to learn that information. So you need to constantly, like for instance, with film school, I went to film school 15 years ago, something like that. Most everything I learned is obsolete. And most of the stuff I learned as a faker was by making movies. So it's like, you know, college itself that's another scam.
Yeah, no.
My literature degree hasn't done much.
That's a true statement, though. I didn't learn anything in college. Like, working in radio, I didn't learn one thing about radio in college.
Exactly.
Like, I learned more by doing it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's crazy.
The one thing I appreciated about my literature degree is learning how to do research.
You learn about how to do research?
That's the one thing I appreciate about it. I mean, it also kept me, yeah, like really to be able to do, you know, literary research, to be able to like really like, you know, develop an argument and an essay, you know, and what you know, what's programs to use to find scholarly articles. Like, and it kept me well read, which I appreciate too. And I'm glad I flunked out of Temple. I mean, I'm not glad, but I did appreciate the English program in Westchester more than the one at Temple. Like, I went to Temple to go to film school. And then when I decided I didn't want to do film school anymore because film school was bullshit, I started studying literature there. And then my GPA was already fucked from the years of doing drugs and not going to classes. So I flunked out and then transferred to Westchester and then graduated. Thank God I was at a dry campus. Temple, you got a bar in the middle of campus.
Yeah, no, I've been to the temple plenty of times.
Yeah, I did. I had a guy next to me in the apartment building I lived at who had a steamer trunk full of every pill imaginable.
Really?
He had every drug you could imagine in that steamer trunk.
Oh.
And it's like I always said, college is not a good place for someone like me. So when I went to, when I got to Westchester, I was older than everyone else. I was commuting at that point, and it was a dry campus, so I was able to not have as many distractions. And it was definitely—I mean, it was a fucking journey. There was somebody who I think we had one or two classes together. He killed himself.
Mm.
His name was Jamie Brickley, and I think about him all the time. And he was bipolar. And this guy wrote a book during a manic episode. He wrote the book in like 2 weeks. And I bought his book. I have it published somewhere. I mean, I have it. He published it. I have it somewhere. I didn't know him that well, but he left such a huge impact on me. And I remember what for our final for that class, it was an autobiography class. And our final was to tell a story in front of the whole class. And the topic was first times. And mine, I talked about when I lost my virginity because, you know, it's first times. What else am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
But he told a story and he came in. He looked so disheveled. He looked so unkempt and so unfocused. But when he told his story, it had so much heart. And I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I think it was that he was touched by someone who was mentally challenged. Like he did something with them. It was a class or a job. And then he was really like moved by them. But I, out of all the stories, like he came in there looking like, it was kind of like Richard Nixon in that one debate when he was all unkempt and like on cocaine or something. But he was just like, but his words, I mean, his passion really spoke to me. And then I guess it was like the next year he shot himself in the head.
Mm.
And it's like, and these journeys, they just, you know, I mean, I help people deal with grief too, because grief and trauma go hand in hand. And it's kind of like we have to keep them with us. We have to find ways of keeping the people that are no longer here with us. Like when my uncle died, that was a huge thing. Like I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about him. And I don't know, like, you know, I was an atheist before. I never really knew what I believed. But once I started getting into this type of work, I started to really feel those connections. Especially like now that I'm really getting into shamanism. Now, that's something I want to address because people have called me a plastic shaman. Because my whole thing is I'm not a shaman and I can never be a shaman. A, I don't have the ancestral lineage to be a shaman. And B, no, a shaman can't call themselves a shaman because then they would lose their abilities. It's bad luck. But I am a shamanic practitioner because I've always been drawn to it. And the big thing about shamanism is drawing from the spirit world and using that energy to heal. And I'm very fascinated by Native American culture. I really love a lot of it. And I do a lot of their rituals and the indigenous people. Because you got to say, the Native American is not good anymore, right? That's offensive, isn't it?
Yeah, Native, yeah.
You know, it's just indigenous, but the indigenous people, the culture is such a beautiful culture. Because it's kind of like, I talk to people online on around the world, and somebody asked me why the U.S. is boring. And I said, because it's a country full of entitled people that's void, and it's void of culture. And it's like, we stole their land, and we have no fucking culture. Yet they have this beautiful culture. So it's so ironic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what culture do Americans really have? Like, what do we have?
Wawa.
we got fucking like cheesesteaks. I don't know. Like, at least around, I mean, you know, around here we got our own thing, but yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I like to honor other cultures, because I think that the reason why I chose this journey is because I realized that there's so much knowledge in the world. And my goal in life is to see the world, because there's thousands of years of knowledge in these ancient civilizations. And why are we ignoring that? Because psychology just stemmed from that anyway. But I think psychology is being seen, because I have an ex-girlfriend who is a psychologist, and I know people who, you know, have psych degrees, and a lot of them think that what I do is a joke. And I don't think it's any different. Like, you know, I just got a therapist to help me with my OCD, and she has a support group for therapists, and she said I can join. She said she doesn't really see a reason why a life coach shouldn't be able to join. And I agree. Like, I don't have, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm a certified life coach. But what the difference is a psychologist uses what they learned in a book, in a course, what they were taught, and life coaches draw from our own experiences. And I've seen some shit. And I've done shit. And I've really dug myself in the holes, and I've dug myself out of them. So I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't really know what I was doing. And like I told you too, I'm constantly learning too. So it's like, I'm literally almost done this shamanic life coach course. And then I got a breathwork course and a meditation course, but I'm excited about this Viking shaman course because I'm really in a Nordic culture too. But back to the heavy metal, there's lots of Nordic roots in heavy metal. Because the big misconception is that heavy metal is satanic. It's not. That's because of the book Lords of Chaos. My whole thing is that metal is not satanic, but Satan is metal.
Yeah.
But it's also, people think it's about anger, and it's not. It's about your higher self. It's about being a warrior, being an individual, being different. So you don't have to be in the heavy metal. Just know that I am. But because, you know, for me, I'm the spiritual coach for everyone. But there's, you know, I've seen lawyers called the knockout attorney. Do you have to be in a boxing to have the knockout attorney? Why would you have to be in a metal to have the heavy metal spiritual coach? Because I've had clients meditate to Pantera. I've had clients meditate to Fallout Boy. You know, to me, I just care what your favorite music is. I don't care. And I could rock out to anything.
Yeah.
If they told me their favorite fucking musician is as I said, if they say Dolly Parton, we'll be meditating to is it Joel, the song? To Joel or 9 to 5. I mean, I don't care what they're into. I mean, but to me, it's just like, but I also still want to teach the lessons that I've learned from metal. Like, let's look at some of this right now. Because there is no self-help book out there better than the lyrics of Twisted Sister. Let's start with this one. One of my favorite song is I Am, I'm Me. And the genius behind this one is they got such an inspirational chorus in such little words. But who are you to look down at what I believe? I'm on to your thinking and how you deceive. Well, you can't abuse me. I won't stand no more. Yes, I know the reasons. Yes, I know the score. I am and I'll be. I will and you'll see. I am and I'll be. I am, I'm me. And then SMF. This is why, this is like, Twisted Sister to me is to show that metal can be inspirational. You know, isn't just about thrashing your head. Black sheep of the family, nothing like the rest. Separate from the others, failing all their tests. Can't they see you're different, so hungry and so lean? You're a walking wonder. You're a metal machine. Look and you'll see you're a lot like me. You're an SMF. Mm. SMF means sick motherfucker.
Yeah. I kind of grasped that for a second.
And then everyone knows. And everyone knows we're not going to take it by Twisted Sister.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. That song's constantly played.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so like I think the lyrics of Twisted Sister, man, are so fucking inspirational. Even the videos when he got the abusive father, the strict father, saying, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And the kid goes, I want to rock.
No, I get that.
But yeah, then you got like more like black metal and stuff like that that doesn't really have, you know. But I mean, no, look at Manowar. Manowar is a fucking inspirational band. You know Manowar?
No, I never heard of them.
They are a Viking power metal band. I love Viking metal. Let me get the lyrics to Warriors of the World. But I mean, they're all about like Valhalla and like, you know, the glory. I mean, the Nordic stuff is so, you know, inspirational. Brothers everywhere, raise your hands into the air. We're warriors, warriors of the world, like thunder from the sky, sworn to fight and die. We're warriors, warriors of the world. Many stand against us, but they will never win. We said we would return, and here we are again. To bring them all destruction, suffering, and pain, we are the hammers of the gods. We are thunder, wind, and rain. There they wait in fear with swords and feeble hands, with dreams to be a king. First one should be a man. I call them out and charge them all with a life that is a lie. And in their final hour, they shall confess before they die.
Mm.
So metal's about anger. Metal's satanic because none of this is.
No, it's not, because I there was no satanic verse in that sentence of those lyrics.
I mean, yeah, they're talking about going to war and fighting and killing, but I mean, A, that doesn't have to be literal for you, and B, you're talking about Vikings.
Did you ever?
And Nordic, I mean.
I was going to say, are you a fan of Disturbed at all?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, because they, like, what's the one song I like by them? Down with the Sickness is a classic.
Down with the Sickness, The Light. I saw them in concert on over the summer. That was a great show. And the singer, he struggles with mental health as well.
Yeah.
He was sharing a story where he wanted to kill himself this past year, but the only thing that kept him going was the music and his son. That was the thing that he shared with everybody.
Yeah. When I was 20, I went through a breakup by a relationship that lasted only 2 months, but it really ruined my life because that's when I let it get to me. I let the darkness get to me. And there was a band called Stabbing Westward. Do you remember them?
No, I don't remember them.
That band spoke to me so much. I know a lot of people had that too, that they... But, I mean, I don't think they're as much about being inspirational as they are about embracing your darkness. Here we go. Let me read you this one. Sometimes it hurts. This was just, if you want to know what I was like in my 20s, I will read you the lyrics of this song. 6 o'clock in the morning, my head is ready to explode. I can't believe I made it home alive. I don't remember where I went or what I was drinking, but I know it's made me sick. And I'm not denying that I get this way when I try to get over you. I get this way when I try to get over you. Sometimes it hurts so much to lose the one you love. Sometimes it hurts so much to lose the one you love. I tried so hard to hate you, but it only makes things worse. I only end up hating myself. And as my hatred grows, so do the lies. It's hard to face the truth sometimes. God, I feel so useless. God, I hate myself. When I try to get over you, God, I hate myself. How will I ever get over you? So to me, that's about accepting, you know, your darkness, accepting your flaws, accepting who you are. I mean, that's not as much about improving. improving again. And that's why, no, instead of improving, I like grow. Grow I can live with, about us growing. But yeah, this is about accept, because part of it is just accepting your life, accepting who you are, you know, because you can't appreciate who you are if you don't accept it first.
Yeah.
And accepting your dark, like it's like a fart sound. In order to, I said the only path through to the light is through the darkness.
Right.
And you have to accept, you have to acknowledge, accept, and then you could be free. Cause it's like what, and I design meditations for my clients to be able to revisit their trauma without it being hard. You know, letting them know they're still they're in a safe place and these memories can't hurt them anymore.
Hmm.
But it's important to acknowledge this shit. The shit that's like, oh, I don't, whenever somebody goes, I don't want to talk about that, I don't want to think about that. You need to. You need to think about it. You need to talk about it because you need to get over it. Otherwise, you push that deep down, it's still affecting you. It's not going anywhere.
Wow. And that, and everything you're telling me now, that's what you're focusing on. That's, and you're helping people. And that actually, that's a good, really good cause too.
Yeah. And I'm making content, you know, I got to get some meditations up, some videos. I want to do a videos on 5 reasons not to work with a coach. I want to do videos on me rewriting popular toxic self-help quotes. Because like I said, toxic positivity is one of the biggest issues. You can do it. You're enough. They don't appreciate you. They don't deserve you. That's all bullshit. We don't need to hear that. It's not helping us.
Right.
I don't think I have them up right here, do I? Some of the ones I wrote. Oh, wait, here it is. Honestly, I might just read you one or two of them. I'm not going to give it away for free. Like, everything happens for a reason. How does that help?
It doesn't.
So, what I'd rather say, shit happens. It's another one. When people always say, like, I don't know who said this, to be honest with you. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I think it was Thomas Edison or Ben Franklin or somebody. I don't think that's helpful because it's like, I've not failed. I've found 10,000 ways. I would just say, don't be afraid to fail. You're going to fail. You need to fail.
That's the harsh reality.
The one I hate the most is the end. Yeah. Because it's more about acceptance. That's why toxic positivity doesn't help, because it forces us not to accept the truth. Like, I don't know. And that's so many coaches and gurus. It's just like, it's just about toxic positivity because people want to hear that and they'll pay. They will pay to hear what they want to hear. But what they need is to hear what they need to hear. The one I hate the most is the end justifies the means. I hate that one the most because the end does not justify the means. The means is everything. The journey is more important than the destination.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very toxic phrase because it basically says, fuck over whoever you want. Do all the bad shit. As long as it takes you to a good place. How does that develop you as a person? Because once you get to your good place, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it says.
Yeah. Be a piece of shit. Because once you get to your destination, you're fucked because you're an asshole.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's, so I don't, like, you'll never get toxic positivity from me. I will never tell my clients, you can have whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And like, I haven't, look, I'm not against manifest destiny, but But I think the attraction. What is it? You called me early in the morning. I had a long night. The secret. What is it? The law of attraction. That's it. I think the law of attraction community is so toxic. Because, like I said, I'm like, all right, I want $50,000 on my front step with a naked woman right now. Universe, deliver it. I'll say it every day for the next 50 days. Guess what, TJ? It ain't happening.
No. You got to work for it.
Yeah. The whole point of the law of attraction to me. And then there's the law of assumption. I don't know the fucking difference. To me, the whole point of the law of attraction is it lets you know what you desire, so you go for it. I have a law of attraction journal I do every day. I don't buy it. I didn't buy prompts. You know, the shadow work journal? You've been seeing it on TikTok, haven't you?
Yeah.
This is what pissed me off, man. I've been doing shadow work since before shadow work was cool. And now all of a sudden everybody's buying it. I was about to write a shadow work journal, but now I don't want to.
Because it's all over TikTok now.
Yeah, and it's like TikTok is fucked up. The spiritual community, the self-help, like, you know, the self-journey community. Because it's like Moldavite is a crystal that is very powerful with shadow work, with, like, you know, internal, you know, work and, you know, self-journeying. And it's from a meteorite, and it's so fucking expensive now because of TikTok. And now shadow work, it's like, I've made a few posts on my new TikTok page for Heavy Metal Healer about, like, the journal. And I will not be buying it because I recommend a $7 journal on Amazon to my clients. It's got typos, but why should you have to spend, you know, more than you have to? Like, anything, any product or anything I recommend on my website is all the cheapest stuff I could find. Because the journal's like, it's like $20, especially when it goes, it's $3 if you click this link, and then you get to the link, it's $22. But I don't know, man. It's just like, stop trying to make something good profitable. It's like the guy who invented germs, the doctor who invented germs. I remember hearing this in the science class. He not invented germs, discovered germs. So he discovered germs because, like, surgeons were, like, fucking going in there with, like, dirty fucking knives and covered in blood and operating people because they didn't know what germs were.
Yeah.
And then a doctor discovered germs. So then he discovered antiseptics and disinfectants and all that. He invented all that stuff. So then they say to him, oh, you're going to make a fortune. And he goes, no, everybody should have this. We shouldn't charge people for this. People need this. People are dying because we're not cleaning our tools and our spaces and our lab coats. I don't know what they had. This is hundreds of years ago, maybe more. But it's like, but the doctor's like, we need to give this to people. We don't need to charge people for it. And the only reason as I charge as a coach is because I need to make a living at this so I can only focus on this. So I can quit my bartending job and just be a coach.
Now, You're still at, you know, where you're at right now in the bartending.
Yeah, and you know what? Being a bartender is basically being a therapist anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm getting too fucking old for this shit. You know, it's killing, like, right now, because I got a herniated disc and sciatica. I'm killing me. I got bandages on my hands because the glass exploded on my hand last night. Like, it's killing my body. I can't do this anymore.
And that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of people, they will stay at a job that is physically killing them and they won't do anything to change it.
Yeah.
But, like, are you making a good, you're making a good profit with, you know, not at where you're at, but are you making a good profit with what you're doing now?
Not yet. It's not, I have a number I want to get. Like, for, I have a number, I got two numbers. One, I got the number I want to get so I can start cutting down my hours. And then I have a number I want to get so I can quit my job. And okay. It's not that many clients for me to, like, quit. Because I remember somebody saying, like, I said, basically, if I got 10 sessions a week, whether 10 weekly clients every other, but if I'm doing 10 sessions a week, I can probably make, like, double what I'm making now at my job and just focus on this and I can quit. And some, you know, people said, that's a lot. And I'm like, I'm working 10 hours a week. You tell me that's a lot. And like I said, I may not be the most affordable, but I'm definitely much more affordable than most. I've seen slightly cheaper than me, but like I said, I'll also do a sliding scale if people can't afford it. I'm more invested in helping people than making a profit. I've given free sessions. You know, I'll work with people. If they want a sliding scale, I require a commitment, but I will, because we shouldn't be doing this just to make a profit. It's very hypocritical. If you're in this to help people and you care more about their checks clearing than, you know, helping them get through their shit, then you got some fucking problems, buddy.
Yeah.
I posted a story on my TikTok. So I was at a bachelor party in Atlantic City last weekend. And there's a bunch of psychics, and they all seem to be open till like 11 at night. So when we went to the casino, I said, you know what? I'm going to go on a boardwalk and check out a psychic. And the one said 24 hours. So it's raining. It's 10:30 at night. And it's 11 o'clock at night, but I think most psychics are open till like 1 or something. So every single psychic I found on the boardwalk, I literally walked all the way back to the house we were staying at, because like from the casino, it's like I walked just back, but they were all closed, even though they all said open. And then the one, it turns out she wasn't the 24-hour one, but I thought she was. She wanted $60 to do a reading of a half deck. And I don't know, it's like, this is the problem. I got a tarot deck. I'm not going to charge you $60 to fucking do a reading with it. You know, it's like, I mean, maybe it's one thing if it's someone online, but it's someone on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And for one, like I hear a dog barking. Her studio stinks of weed. Like, she was kind of rude. It's like, you want $60 from me? And she was like nice enough to like, oh no, I'm closed, but come in, I'll do a reading. My ride's on its way. And then she's like, $60. I said, goodbye. And it's like, people want help. People want answers. But there's also people that are preying on them to make a profit.
Yeah, that's something I don't like. I mean, I don't know. I kind of look at my job the same way. Like, a lot of people want get into my job because they think it's, you make a lot of money. I'm not in it for the money. I don't make anything, but I don't care.
Well, you love it. You love radio.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I love what I do. And like, a lot of people are like, well, why won't you just quit your job and just get another job with more money? Because that's not who I am. I don't care about it. Money's not anything.
I appreciate you not mentioning where I work on here. I noticed that you stopped yourself. Hold on, somebody's knocking on my door. So but it's like, you know, I don't have a glamorous job, and I could definitely get a much better bartending job. But I've been there a long time, and I'm comfortable. Not to mention, I mean, I got my seniority, so I basically pick my own schedule. That's the main thing. But yeah, I mean, I could work somewhere else, but I don't want to stay in the industry. So if I'm going to be anywhere, I'm going to be here for now until I can get the hell out.
Yeah, exactly. But
like, I know I'm the perfect example of like, my life is not figured the fuck out, and I'm working on it. And, you know, and if I was a coach trying to say, oh, I got my shit together, let me help you get your shit together, I'd be lying like a motherfucker. And why would you want that coach? Don't you want somebody who's also struggling, who's also working? You know, I mean, that's why I mentioned the OCD. It's fairly new to me, knowing I have a lot of, you know, I always knew I had some type of OCD, but I never knew that there's so many different types. And it's like, I mean, the fact that like I you know, a few times during this interview, like I've been like, oh, focusing on my blinking. You know, there's, I mean, so like people who have harm OCD and pedophile OCD, you know, it's like they should be allowed to tell people what they're suffering with, but because it makes them sound bad, and it's not their fault that they have these dark thoughts coming through, because it's just a condition. You know, we need, the stigma is changing and it's getting better with mental health, but it's still not good enough. People are still struggling, and not, it's not okay to talk about it. You know, some stuff we're getting more better about saying, like, you know, people know what, you know, borderline personality is, disorder is now, and people with BPD are like getting more comfortable with coming out and saying they have BPD, but it's still always going to be known as the stalker disorder, you know? Narcissists are not, like, why are we shaming narcissists? Like, our society is built, like, we even, like, with men's group, I think I don't even know if we still have it, but there's like groups for narcissist abuse. It's like, stop shaming narcissists. We need to ex help them, because they can be helped. They just can't see what they're doing, and they're not awful people. It's a personality disorder, just like anything else. It's a disorder. It's a disability. We need to try to help them. If we can accept them in the community, into our society, we can get them to see what they're doing and get better. Because I myself have healed from narcissistic tendencies. I mean, it's possible. Stop, because that's the misconception. Narcissists can't change. So let's just say, fuck you, narcissist, and make them the villains of our society. No, that's not helping anyone. And people call me like weak for sympathizing with narcissists, and I'm like, fuck you. I just hate that, like, you know, and then like it's just so much narcissist abuse, not narcissistic abuse from narcissists, abuse to narcissists. If we can help them, why wouldn't we? Because when I started dealing with narcissistic tendencies, I was told it was uncurable. You can't get better. And I'm like, if it's something that happened to me, if it's not something I was born with, if it's something that happened to me over time, then why can't I reverse it? If it can happen to you, it can unhappen to you. There's no reason you can't change. Oh, here I go. I use the word I don't like, change. I know I say change isn't real, but I'm full of contradictions. Everyone is. I'd be lying if I didn't, but it's like I said, it's not necessarily change, it's growth. Like, people can't change. I just said you could. I just said you could change. No, you can't. I mean, that's not who you are, you know, that trait. That's something that can be destroyed, like I said. You yourself can't change, but that's like, that's why, you know, when I went back to saying I'm more than just my diagnosis, that's what I mean. So when I say people can't change, because people are who they are, but parts of them can be destroyed. And that in turn can seem like change. And yes, it's, and I am kind of contradicting myself, but at the same time, I'm saying, like, you know, that's what I mean when I said change, even though I said you can't change. But I mean, anybody who says they don't contradict themselves, they're full of shit. We all contradict ourselves all the time.
I do every day.
So it's like, yes, I kind of did there. But yeah, you can't change. Like I said, you can't change, you can't improve, you can destroy, you can release what's no longer serving you. And through shadow work is, we're not getting rid of our shadow, but we're embracing it. So when I first started that journey, when they're like, oh, you got to embrace your shadow with love, I said, fuck no. I'm gonna beat the shit out of that motherfucker. I'm gonna put him through hell like he's been doing that to me my whole life. And that's what I tried to do. And in the end, I learned you need to embrace your shadow with love, because your shadow is just a scared little child. Just need to say to it, I love you. I appreciate you. I know you're trying to help me, but you're not.
Wow.
You don't have to be scared. You don't have to think that if you go, you don't have to think that if I get better, I won't need you anymore, because I do need you. I will always need you. Because when you talk down to sides of yourself, that's going to make them even more upset and they're going to push you even harder. So you have to look at those sides and be like, I hear you. I love you. Because they're just trying to help. There's something called the internal family system.
Right.
Because there's basically what the internal family system is, that there's so many different sides inside of us. There's so many different parts to who we are. We're not just one thing. So it's about, you know, when you do something, you're like, why the fuck did I do that? I'm so ashamed that I did that. For one, don't be ashamed, because that's what's giving your shadow fuel. But you have to realize that that wasn't necessarily you. You're responsible for everything you did. But that doesn't mean you have to be guilty about it, because it comes from a place that we don't necessarily like when we do something bad. That side of us we don't really like. So it's one, be responsible for what you did. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge your mistakes. But don't hold the guilt. Forgive yourself, because it's still coming from a side of yourself that's very confused.
That's deep. That is actually deep right there. It made me think a lot for a second.
Well, yeah, because we hold so much shame and guilt, and it's not good. Shame is the lowest emotion you can feel. On the vibrational frequency scale, is the worst thing you feel is shame. And every time you feel shame, you're just shoving more shit into your shadow.
Mm. Us.
But I always say I'm not a good guy. You know me. I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Because
it's who we are.
Because it's about balance. It's not about being good or being bad, because there is no good or bad. We are flawed and we are gifted. We have good and we have bad inside of us. And I always say it's okay to be an asshole, just don't be a dick.
Yeah. What time is it, by the way? I don't even know.
It's like 11:45.
I think. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we went over a lot. This is like the most quiet I've ever seen you.
No, I was just listening, being intrigued.
And you didn't know this side of me, because this is not something I really let out, you know? I mean, it wasn't really something I you know, was using until I started my business.
Yeah, no, when I saw you do it last year, I wasn't really sure what you were doing. I just didn't know, like, if it was just a new page or something. And then, like, now that you came on and told me about this, I'm just like, okay, this is, like, I want to hear more about what you're doing, not, like, about me, you know? Froze again.
That kind of spiritual connection, because we had the Spirit Project. Here we go. I said, I thought this is a good place to talk about it, because you and I have that spiritual connection, because we Spirit Project.
Yeah, definitely.
And I never did anything with that last thing we did, because the footage was so it's such a mess, that footage. Because it was pitch black, there were cars going by, but it was also one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Like with the thing moving and all that.
Yeah. So I want to work on it, but it was just, I started to work on it. It was giving me such a fucking, it was stressing me out, because you can't see anything. You can't hear anything because of the cars, because of the bad lights. Like, we tried everything we could to try to get like good lighting, but it was so pitch black.
I feel like if we did it in the woods, it'd be much easier.
Yeah. But I mean, we did connect with that spirit.
Yeah, that's the thing too. I try not to go back there sometimes, but yeah.
Well, he liked you. He didn't like me.
Because you smoked, or so you were vaping.
I hit my vape and he got pissed off.
Yeah.
Did I antagonize him a little bit?
You did.
Yeah. Well, that's a good cop, bad cop thing. I don't know. My buddy Rick McCallum always said never antagonize a spirit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm afraid, like, it's like with the Ouija board. I'm afraid to do that because I know I'll antagonize.
Well, that's why you got to cleanse yourself, you know? I mean, Rick always says that, like, you know, what's sage going to do for a spirit that can't smell it? But, you know, you can always just like, you know, if you, you know, feel like, because I think I might have brought something back from the tunnel. So I lit a candle and said, you are not welcome here. Please leave. Because that tunnel was freaky, dude. That we talked about that last time I was on. That was such a weird situation. I ended up lost in the tunnel without my phone.
And it was perfect too. Like, and for the people who listen, like, that wasn't scripted at all. That was,
oh no, no, and I love to just show people like the, just the introduction of you being like, my friend is lost in the tunnel. Like, what do I do? And then just me going, TJ. Like, just the first 5 seconds of that video was the best. Like, 30 seconds, just you going, you driving around looking for me. Like, what do? He's stuck. He's lost in the tunnel. And then it just cuts to me going, TJ.
Yeah, no, that was like, I literally thought you were like gone, because like I couldn't. Oh, and yeah, that was scary. That was probably one of the scariest things that we've ever done.
Yeah, that's why I want to like I want to get back to more stuff, and I want to finish that video. Maybe you should help me with it too, because the footage is just so rough.
Yeah,
I did make a really cool intro of us driving with music playing.
That's just the thing, like, oh man, like there's so many good places to go to, and I would want to go back to get in ghost hunting. I just feel like it's getting too cold now.
Yeah, I also want to do an overnight hotel thing too,
like in a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I think the Radnor Hotel has a haunted room.
I gotta look into that.
Yeah, I think it's like $120 a night. I mean, it's not bad if we split it.
Yeah, no, I definitely would try that a couple months or so.
Yeah, I want to be able to like at least get a camera to go like to be able to run all night while we're sleeping. We have to have like that set up.
Yeah. Huh. We'll figure it out.
You could even just have a laptop, probably be able to do that. Or, I mean, even your phones, you could probably have like a motion, some type of like motion activated camera.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I gotta look into that, because like I'm trying to do more stuff like with film too. Like, I want to film like a kind of like a documentary of myself, like the journey I went through to get to where I want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have,
yeah, like, I'm working on a few projects right now. I'm working with these guys, Clock Out Films in Delaware. We're doing a film right now, The Fiddler. It's the best thing I've ever worked on.
Yeah.
These guys are really talented. And then I'm, you know, of course, I'm still working with Mark Mackner. We're just about to finish Die, Daisy, Die.
I remember you were talking about that film a couple, like when we last talked.
Well, I did Daisy Dirkins and the Dinosaur Apocalypse with him, and then we just finished Die Daisy Die, which is the fourth one of the series.
Yeah.
And I think for the next one we're going to be doing the studio. I actually came up with a new name for the studio too. It's called Mackner Vision now. But we're going to be making the next one. I pitched two ideas to him. I don't know if he'll ever use them, because I pitched them to him, you know, before he did the last one. But I either wanted to do the Daisy verse, where all the, because every movie he has a different actress play Daisy. So everybody said you should have like a Daisy verse, like, you know, like the Spider Verse. Yeah. And then I pitched the Luchador Underground idea, where Daisy Durkins goes underneath Philly and there's a entire community of luchadors living underneath the city. Which I was inspired by Neverwhere for that one. So hopefully he actually uses one of those ideas this time.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple things on TikTok right now. Just, I'm doing the dark web series. And one of the guys I had on my show, he gave me an idea, and he was like, you could just use that idea, because it sounds pretty cool.
Are you still doing the ARG stuff?
With the being stalked and stuff, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I made it like the dark web was following me this time instead of like an actual. I just like, I have a video idea that I'm probably going to do in a little bit. And then that's pretty much what it's going to be. It's going to be portrayed as it's real going on, but it's going to be like scripted, obviously.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know what I'm doing, but a lot of people also know that, like, some people don't know that it's real, and some people think it's like really happening.
I need to get back on my ARG page, because you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't want to reveal that me and him are the same person, because we look nothing alike. He wears clown makeup. I don't. But I need to get back on that because I have a bunch of stuff I filmed that I haven't used.
Yeah. But I'm but the one thing I do want to finish is Pandemic. I want to get back onto that. I just haven't.
Didn't I die in that one?
You did, but I was going to bring you back to life, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to. I think that's kind of stupid just to bring somebody back to life just for like a couple. You know what I mean?
Make me my twin.
I could do that too. Yeah, that's. Yeah, like there's.
Well,
like,
this is going away. This is going away this week, the goatee.
Is it?
Well, I don't know when this episode will be up, but and I got to get going because I got my meeting in 10 minutes with men's group. But I'm doing my, you know, with Envoûté, which I've been with for like 15 years. We're doing our annual Halloween show this weekend, and it's Stephen King, and I am playing the role of a lifetime because I am Pennywise.
Oh, shit.
So I have not been more excited for a role in my life.
That's awesome. I can't wait to. So where's that?
It's in, I could say, if you use my code, you can get a discount. Cause it's like, I think it's like, I don't know. I think the price might have went down, but it's like $120 a ticket, but you're also getting a buffet and an open bar. But if you use my code, you can get like, I think it's like $90, but, it's in Jersey. Where is it? Hold on. Haddonfield, I think Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Haddonfield, Illinois?
What, from, I feel like Jersey is like horror land because all the towns in like South Jersey all resemble a horror movie.
Yeah, they do.
King Country, because there's, I remember when I was, all right, here, it's in Haddonfield, New Jersey at the Haddonfield Fortnightly.
Okay.
On October 28th. But if you go online, it's called King Country. And you can you go to envoûtéentertainment.ticketsauce.com, I think, to get tickets. Yeah, you can go. If you go to Envoûté, Envoûté, entertainment.ticketsauce.com, you get your tickets there. I don't know if this will be up by the 28th. Which is this Saturday.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be the role of a lifetime.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, no, definitely.
But if you and your wife want to come though, let me know and I'll give you the discount code.
Yeah, no, I'll talk to her in a little bit about it.
Yeah, because it's going to be immersive. You know, it's immersive theater, so you'll be interacting with all these Stephen King characters. So it's right up your alley.
Yeah, no, I like that stuff.
And perfect for Halloween.
Yeah, definitely. But no, yeah, you got to get going, though, I take it, right?
Yeah, I got my spiritual growth group. I got to go do a guided meditation with a bunch of dudes. I don't even have it in me today to do it. Like, these, this work's been killing me lately. Because we're not talking about where I work, but you know why. Because there's a specific drink out right now that's driving me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped drinking during the week.
Yeah, that's good. I started drinking more. I'm taking a break from weed right now because of my OCD.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been helping my OCD, so I'm taking a little break.
Yeah, something happened with my dad recently, and it got me to stop drinking a lot because I used to drink every day just because it was fun. And now I'm just like, stop. I do it during the week or during the weekend. I'm sorry, but not a lot.
I'm not a big fan of abstinence because, like I said, you know, the black and white thinking, I think extremes are not healthy. So it's like, unless you legit have like an absolute problem, I think, you know, cutting down is better than cutting off.
Yeah. That's
because pushing too much in one direction is going to throw you back into the other direction. Yeah. I always look at it like a scale. You know, you got a scale of good and bad, right? And if you put all your weight into the good side, then all the shit from the bad side falls over, everything falls off and the scale flips. So yeah. It's like, that's why you want to put, you know, your weight on the good and on the bad. You know, the yin yang wolf, when they say you got two wolves inside of you, one represents light and one represents dark. Which one wins? The one you feed? Feed them both. Don't feed one wolf. Feed them both.
That's the goal.
That's what people think too much about, focusing too much on the good. Too much on the good. Everything's in the good. Focus on the good. No, focus on both. You need the dark and you need the light. You don't need it. That's not how life works. It's not all about focusing on the good. It's about having a good balance of light and dark inside of you. That's how I'll end this.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's been a while. I know we've been trying to schedule some out for a while, so I'm glad. You're like, literally today was like, can you do it in half an hour? Yeah, let's just fucking get it over with.
Yeah. It was easier for me too.
So. Yeah, well, it's my day off and it's perfect timing. I can't sleep anymore, so I'm up way earlier than I wanted to be.
It's all good. But yeah, no, we'll definitely hang out one day soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got to do something. Even if we're not like working or anything, let's just chill. Like play some old video games or something.
I'm down. Definitely. All right.
I will see you. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. See ya.
All right, that was it. Thank you, Bob, for coming on. Really great interview. Wow. We got to have Bob back on more often. You know, this is the first time I've talked to Bob in a long time, too. So, hey, it is what it is. All right, everybody. So, here's the deal. We're going to go. Ray Gonzalez will be back on Thursday, I believe. And actually, here's the deal. If the Phillies win tonight, I will be back tomorrow. So, if they win tonight, it's a big game. I'll be back tomorrow, first thing in the morning, and I will give everybody an intel of what's going on. So, that's what we're going to do. All right, love you all to death. See you guys later, and yeah.